Hare Krishna, everyone. So we'll begin. So any points you remember from last section? Anyone wants to share? We discussed about the soul and the super soul, the two knowers, right? 15 to 19, right? Or 13? 13. So any points briefly? Krishna says the soul is almost like beginningless, right? Because we don't know when it got, you know, it's as far as infinity. And then super soul has his hands, legs, everything, everywhere. Any points? Any striking points? You remember?
You said about Nityabaddha and Nityamukta.
Okay.
Eternally, condition eternally.
So Supreme Lord is far away, but he is near to all. How do you understand that?
When you offer the prasadam, so that's one. How he extends his hands to receive our offerings.
Yes,
when
but
it is offered with
no. But still, he is very far. Even physically, he is very far, but it still he is very near physically.
He's within us as Paramatma.
He's within us as Paramatma. He's closest to all, but he's far because he's in Goloka Vrindavana. Okay. What else? Although super soul appears to be divided, it's never divided. What do we understand? What is the analogy to understand that? How does he appear to be divided?
Like everyone has super soul.
Super soul. Okay.
It looks like divided, but only one super soul in this world.
Okay. Example, analogy?
The sun in the mirrors.
Okay, somebody. Sun?
So, Mataji, certain area, you know, everybody, like maybe 100 square miles, right? All the people, everybody thinks that sun is on top of their head, even though, you know, sun is one, but they all think sun is
So, they feel as if there is individual sun for themselves, actually. But there is actually one sun always there. So, that's a very nice example, analogy Prabhupada gives. Okay. So, let's discuss then today. 2018, so Krishna says he is a goal of knowledge. That is similar to the verse 15:15, where he says that I am the source of the Vedas and from Vedas I am to be known. Okay, so text number 19 onwards we'll discuss today. Oh no, it's already discussed, right? So he summarizes that, you know, he explained all this, the body, the knowledge and the knowable. And only my devotees can understand this. Says very clearly, you know, any transcendental topic, Krishna says very clear, only devotees can understand, right? Because it has to be revealed. It's not to be acquired. Okay, so 20 to 27. Now he talks about the first two topics, Prakriti and Purusha. So Arjuna asks so many questions, right? Prakriti, Purusha, Kshetra, Kshetrajna. So many questions. You should remember what are the questions, what are the answers. So now 20 to 27, he is going to talk about Prakriti and Purusha. So this Purusha is the individual enjoyer, not the Supreme Purusha. So, Prakritim Purusham Chaiva Viddhi Anadi Ubhavapi Vikaramscha Gunamschaiva Viddhi Prakriti Sambhavan. Material nature and the living entities should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformations and the mode of matter are products of material nature. So, here he is saying that material nature and the living entities, material nature is inferior, living entities is superior nature, but both of them are beginningless. That means there is no point exactly when it started. And whatever transformations a living entity undergoes while is encaged, these all are because of transformation of the or interaction with the mode of material nature. So, we will understand specifically what it means. Okay, from the purport. Second paragraph, about 15th line down. Okay, well, that's in the middle. Yeah, so basically here, okay, we can read the second paragraph. Both material nature.
Both material nature and the living entity are eternal. That is to say that it existed before the creation. The material manifestation is from the energy of the Supreme Lord, and so also are the living entities. But the living entities are of the superior energy. Both the living entities and material nature existed before this cosmos was manifested. Material nature was absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu, and when it was required, it was manifested by the agency of Mahatattva. Similarly, the living entities are also in him, and because they are conditioned, they are averse to serving the Supreme Lord. Thus, they are not allowed to enter into the spiritual sky.
Okay, we can pause there. It's easy to understand that living entities are always there before the creation, because they are spiritual energy and they are absorbed in the Mahavishnu. But maybe you may be confused, how can we say material nature exists before the creation? Is anybody confused about that? Because creation itself is made of material nature. Then what does it mean to say material nature exists before the creation? Right? No, not souls. Material nature is material energy. Yeah. Do you understand the confusion?
Yeah.
He says, both the living entities and material nature existed before this cosmos was manifested. Cosmos is also made of material energy actually, right?
We were latent in the Lord.
Yeah, exactly. That's the answer. So basically there are phases of the material nature. Somebody who understands Bhagavatam, they know the Pradhana and Mahatattva. So what he is telling here is, so initially the material elements are in raw state, undifferentiated state. Means like it's like a big lump like that. Right? Before it's impregnated by Mahavishnu. So that time that's still material nature, but it's considered, it's not active basically. It's not really effectively producing universes and bodies and all those things. It's not set into action. So that state of material nature is called Pradhana actually, if you want to know the names. But once Mahavishnu glances at it, then it starts differentiating into different parts, like, you know, five working senses, five knowledge acquiring senses, and he falls ego, and they interact with three modes of material nature and further transformations. All details are given. Then universes starts creating, universes start becoming big, and Vishnu enters into it. Everything sets into action. So then that differentiated form of material nature is called Mahatattva, where elements can be differentiated. Like you can say, this is eye, this is nose, this is legs, this is hands. These are separate, you can differentiate them.
Mm.
The initial stage, it's not set into action. It's called material nature. So both are called material nature, but one is called technically Pradhana, where it's not active. Other one is called Mahatattva, where it's already set into action. So when it's set into action, that's when we can say cosmos is created, universe is created. You see? So that's why he's saying material nature and the living entity existed before this cosmos manifested. That state of material nature is the Pradhana state, where everything is a lump. But originally it's always there. It's not like suddenly it appeared. It suddenly appeared at one point, as suddenly living entities appeared at one point. But it's always there. That original raw state of material elements doesn't get created and annihilated again. But the universes get created and annihilated. You see the point?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like as if you build a big building. It comes from raw materials, right? Like you take earth, water and all these things, and you build construction. And then when you dissolve it, it comes back to raw state. But you cannot say the basic elements have been created now. So basic elements are always there. Suddenly structure comes and suddenly structure disintegrates. So like that, suddenly universe comes, suddenly universe goes away. That's cosmos. But the basic elements are always created. At one point they are created, but always there. It's okay? Whatever, you are confused?
So that way material energy is eternal as...
Yeah, exactly. Material energy is as eternal as spiritual energy. Yes, that's why Krishna says, Daiviyesha, my divine energy actually. Yeah.
So Mataji, when you said elements of the Prakriti, then you only mentioned about the senses, right? What about this other, like rocks, water and other?
They're all made of five elements, which are earth, water, air, fire and ether. That's also parts of the initial elemental stage. There are many subdivisions. When it starts differentiating, many things gets created. Among them are five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether. After that, there are five working senses, there are five knowledge acquiring senses, then false ego, then three modes of, of course, three modes, they interact with it. Then intelligence gets created, then the living energy gets created. All this, how false ego interacts with mode of goodness to create certain thing, false ego interacts with mode of passion to create, more details are given actually, sequentially how it happens and all. So that's the point, yeah. Otherwise, you can assume that it's in subtle form. Everything was in subtle form. But when Lord injects, then it starts becoming into gross forms where you can visibly differentiate and see them like that. Even then, you know, for example, ether is subtle. Mm-hmm. You cannot see. But these are, you know, differentiations. is it very clear now? Cosmos means the stage where you can see the universes, universe and planetary systems and everything. So that stage, before that stage happened also, the stage where everything gets absorbed in the Lord, that time also there is material nature, but it's in inactive state. You see the... Is this first one? I still feel some doubts. It's okay? So it's in, as example of the factory, you can assume, like, initially it's in basic state, elemental state, then the construction happens, you see some form, structure, when it disintegrates, still you have the raw elements which it's made. It doesn't mean that elements have been created now. Right?
Structure.
Exactly. So the elements are always there, that as good as eternal. But the structure comes and goes, like how universes comes and goes.
So where those basic elements existed, like?
That's always existed, that's the point. They existed in universe, in the material, whole spiritual sky in one corner, and that's called, that's basically called material world when it emanates. But it's in, like, basically you can assume the whole creation, or rather not creation, the whole existence, material and spiritual world, as like big sky. In one corner, its example is given as if like one cloud is there in one corner, like that all the material elements are combined together in one lump, in one corner. It's a cloud in the sky. And that, when it's set into action, that part becomes material world. When set into action, when the Lord glances, universes exist in that area. Then that becomes material world. The rest of the creation, which is 3/4, is the spiritual world. It's okay. It's actually, these are more details given in Bhagavatam. It's okay if you don't.
Mataji, one of the days, can you explain like how universe got created and Mahavishnu and
three Vishnus.
Three Vishnus.
Sure.
And then how, like, you know, every individual universe has their own Vishnus.
Yeah.
Like from where it originated, like from the very beginning, a little bit more.
Yeah, we can show, images, and we can show, it's very nice. Yeah, it's a good topic. Yeah. Okay, so that's one thing. Look, let's coming down, Prabhupada is saying, similarly, the living entities also are in him. So the point here is, when, let's say once the creation started, right? So the living entities will get some bodies within the material universe. But the universe also annihilates. So when universe annihilates, what happens to the living entities which are existing there?
You go back into
Mahavishnu. Yes, so they go back into Mahavishnu in a dormant state. So that's what he's saying. All the living entities are also in him. No, I'm trying to... No, if you deeply read, then you will find questions about it which you don't understand, which I'm trying to explain. So that's fine. Okay, and because they are conditioned, they are averse. We can read this. Similarly, the living entities are also in him, and because they are conditioned, they are averse to serving the Supreme Lord. Thus, they are not allowed to enter into spiritual sky. So, the whole thing is a spiritual sky, but they are not allowed to enter because they are not ready to serve the Lord. But continue further, but with the coming forth.
Thus, they are not allowed to enter into the spiritual sky, but with the coming forth of material nature, these living entities are again given a chance to act in the material world and prepare themselves to enter into the spiritual world. That is the mystery of this material creation.
You can understand now. See, these three lines, Prabhupada is explaining what's the purpose of creation. Purpose of creation is to give a chance for living entity to rectify themselves so that he can come back to spiritual sky. Yeah. Actually,
the living entity is originally the spiritual part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, but due to his rebellious nature, he is conditioned within material nature. It really does not matter how these living entities or superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in contact with material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead knows, however, how and why this actually took place.
Oh, so here, so far, the point Prabhupada is saying is, because we are telling is eternally, right? Eternally they existed, but eternally they are conditioned. Somebody may ask, okay, what is exactly, tell me exactly when I got influenced by, envy and I fell down. Somebody may ask. Then Prabhupada is clarifying here. We may not pinpoint and tell that, but Lord knows when it is. But the very fact that we are in the material world means that thing happened, some point. That, we envied the Lord. So another very nice incident is, Prabhupada talks about this example. If suppose we are diseased, when we go to the doctor, we already are suffering from symptoms of disease. Like whatever disease, we get some symptoms, right? We are already suffering from the disease. We go to the doctor and we say, give me the cure. Tell me how do I cure the disease. But we don't say, tell me exactly how and when, why, I got this disease. Some people ask out of curiosity so we can avoid next time. but it's not so much of a concern. We just want to solve the disease and move on, right? Like that. So that's the point. There is a very nice, you know, we also had a discussion with kids about this particular story. It's called, it's in our website, called Curing the, Better Spend Time Curing the Disease. Yeah, so continuing further, if you want to read the explanation of Prabhupada, yeah. In the scriptures,
the Lord says that those attracted by his material nature are undergoing a hard struggle for existence. But we should know it with certainty from the descriptions of these few verses that all transformations and inferences of material nature by the three modes are also productions of material nature.
Mm.
All transformations and variety in respect to living entities are due to the body. As far as spirit is concerned, living entities are all the same.
Okay, so here this last three lines, Prabhupada is clarifying, 1 minute, he's clarifying the last line in the translation. The transformation and the modes of matter are products of material nature. So that means if we see any variety and differences, it's because of differences in the transformation with the matter. Like, you know, somebody is tall, somebody is fat, somebody is thin. These are all different combinations with the matter. But actually, the soul is same. It doesn't mean they are, there is no individuality at the same time. Soul is same means they are Sachidananda Vigraha. At that level, they are same. But they are individual. You know, they have individual relationship with Krishna and their spiritual form, which is individual. Right? But essentially, the point is the differences we see in various animals, like, you know, lion versus snake versus cat versus all these differences are differences in the body because of changes in the way in which the material modes interact with the other elements. It's okay? Yeah.
Mataji, so what I'm trying to understand, I'm trying to think out loud, is that so initially there was the Lord, and then there are all these little souls that are there. Then at one point there must have been a point where, you know, one soul said, why should I serve the Lord? And, you know, it starts going away. So then is when the material energy is going to be created, right? It's only at least one soul must have thought, you see what I'm trying to say? No. But seriously, right? If then, you know, if you try to backtrack like that, then we were all part of that creation only, right? Like the Lord's energy, and that we were all there. Then we started falling one by one.
Not like that. Very nice. Today only I was reading one verse in Bhagavatam that exactly answers this question. It says actually the cause for the material creation is actually the desire to enjoy separate from the Lord of the living entity. That's exactly what you're saying is right. If at all living entities didn't have any desire to enjoy separate from the Lord, there is no purpose for the material creation. There is no reason.
Right.
So he says, purport and the translation says, the cause for the material creation is the living entity's misuse of the free will. That's the hetu, the cause. But of course, the cause of all causes and the person who created this is the Lord. You know, it doesn't mean the living entity created material nature. No, there are two causes, right? The cause here it's mentioned is the reason, basically. You know, it's
reason,
not the cause, the reason. Yeah, the way it's described is cause. Yeah, so that's actually correlates with what you're saying. But it doesn't happen like that, you know, as sequentially as we can imagine. So, at the same time, we cannot say at what point did the material nature get created, you know. Is it that there is at least one soul?
Yes.
At least we know, you know, the Lord knows that, you know.
We can actually use the same doctor's analogy in that case, that, you know, it's very hard to pinpoint when that happened, but, you know.
Yeah. That's one thing. That's one way to say, you know, we don't know. But one thing is, like, for example, any state, right? When you build a state means like city or country, right? Where there is its own jurisdiction, like, you know, lawyers and people, and they have a purview of location where they monitor. When they begin start building city buildings and all the government houses, they also build a prison house. So they know there are always people who disobey, and there is always place for them to be there. So it's like that. So by design of creation, the material whole creation or a spiritual existence, this part of is that, you know, there is always a location for people who want to disobey. They have a, you know, room where they can fulfill their desires. It's like that.
But at some point, that, you know, like you're saying, that
I hope it makes sense.
It was in the form of lump, and then it got created.
Yes. Yes.
So at some point, that must have happened, right?
So what happens is, until that time, even though the living entity falls down, in the sense, He knows, so the moment we envy the Lord, there is no room for us in spiritual sky. It's not like, oh, wait, I'm creating material world, you still hang on there. It's not like that. So the moment we think like that, we are out of that. So, you know, we have no room there. So then where do we go? If you want to see it chronologically and see, you know, it's going to take some time for creation and I'm hanging here, where am I going to go? If you want to see like that, then they're going to be absorbed in Mahavishnu. That's a state, that's a suspended state. They'll be there until when Mahavishnu decides, okay, now I'm going to create the material universes, then he glances, then the universes start emanating Mahagarbha, Dakshina, Vishnu. That's why, you know, then when it's ready, Brahma creates most of the planetary system done, then Brahma says, okay, I'm ready to give body to you, then the living entity gets the body. So imagine now, to get a body also, even not even human body, any body also, it can take some time. We discussed this point earlier, right? Just imagine, no, after this annihilation of the universes, partial annihilation, complete annihilation, there's so many phases, right? After all this, finally we just remain as, if we cannot go back to spiritual world, we remain as suspended state in Lord Vishnu's body. Again, we have to wait for chance for material creation, then we get it. So there's a temporary state.
Lord Vishnu is outside the spiritual world?
Yeah, he's lying in the Karana ocean. Everything is in the spiritual sky. Everything is a spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky, there are spiritual planets. You know, you can say as complete units.
But those planets, they don't exist always, right?
They exist always. Spiritual planets exist always, not universes. I'm not talking about material universes. I'm talking about Goloka and Ayodhya Dham and Narasimha's Dham and all Lord's eternal abodes. They're always ever existing. They're spiritual planets. Material planets exist within the universe. Within the universe, there are so many, right? 14 planetary systems, 7 above, 7 below. Those things exist while the universe exists, and they annihilate when the universe annihilates. Means, like, disintegrate.
So, Mataji, a couple of things.
Wow.
So
it looks like you all want to study second kind of Srimad Bhagavatam.
You are just focusing on it.
Please, let me say something. Something in the sense, like, maybe so much. Like if you take this much of land and then you see dig there, you see like numerous number of bugs or something like that. Like imagining that so much of living entities and they all have revolted at some point of time.
Yes.
Sometimes it makes me hard to believe how come so many people were like that bad.
Yeah.
But then, when you see everyone has this tendency, this is mine. Even a dog will always hold its bone that this is mine.
Yes.
Human beings are like as good as that also, like this is mine. So this tendency is definitely up there. So that makes me believe, yeah, like we have this tendency that this is mine, one thing. So that part is over. Then second thing is, when this envy, we envied Lord. So now, but we here, if we have this envy for, like if I envy her also, this is a bad thing. So it's like as good as envying God also.
Yes.
So in spiritual sky, when they are saying that we envied God, is it like envying some another spirit spark there? Is it like as good as that, or like any envy is envying God?
Yeah, the way we it's partially correct. The one is the way we see ourselves, the way we see envy in ourselves here in the material world is when we see envy towards anybody. That's a symptom. That's a clue, because originally, you know, we, especially once we start taking devotional service, we think, you know, why do I envy the Lord? I'm chanting his names almost all day, I'm serving him all day, I'm, you know, everything I'm trying to do for him, you know, I don't have envy for the Lord. So it's very easy to forget we have envy. But the moment we see, that's an easy way to detect we still have envy is when we feel envious of a devotee, or, you know, generally people are envious of devotees, especially because devotees manifest the potency of the Lord. And when we see somebody getting more, and if we have material desires, like to gain prestige, fame, adoration, and when we see somebody else getting it, immediately, because of material desires, we feel envious. Then we can know, actually, you know, this is still there, and we have to work hard to, you know, help, pray to Krishna to help us get over it. And regarding the question of whether the spiritual world, it's also the same. So, it's not, detail is not given, you know, how it originated, in the sense, how it manifested the envy there. Either it could be envy with the Lord directly, or it could be with other living entities also, which is as good as envy with the Lord, right? You know, even its own devotees, we say, you know, why Radharani has to spend more time with Krishna, why not me? It's as good as envy of Krishna only, like that, right? So it could be anything. We don't know. I don't know the details.
But envy is the key.
Exactly, yes. Envy, all the qualities are there in spiritual world except envy. everything, greed, anger, everything can also be utilized in service of the Lord, except envy. That's the only quality which cannot exist in spiritual world.
I was thinking like this, Padali. So first time somebody falls down, he goes, and then they all start wondering what happened to that bro. Oh, he's enjoying. Why can't I go? Why can't I go?
Yeah, exactly.
Then we go, oh my God, so this is not enjoying. So we still don't have that knowledge, and you know that lack of knowledge is pushing us thinking that we can enjoy without.
Yes, we want to. It's like a child, right? Child wants to, even though mother tells so many times, don't touch the fire, you'll get hurt. They want to sometimes experience and then come to the conclusion themselves, right? So then what do you just try to stop? You beat him so many times, but finally you have to let them experience. That's the best way they learn. Okay. So let's go to the next verse.
That's very attractive. So many questions.
Yeah. So many questions, yeah. Text number 21. That's a mystery, actually. Yeah. No, even though we are suffering, we want to stay here. That's a mystery.
that's why we start for prayers. Agnanam. We don't have that jnana.
Every day when I go through some problem, I say, Krishna, I know that this material world is full of problems. I don't want. Please take.
Okay. Karya karana kartutve hetu prakriti ruchyate purusha sukha dukkhanam bhoktrutve hetu ruchyati. Nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas the living entity is the cause of various sufferings and enjoyments in this world. It's very clear now. Exactly answering our questions. We may blame the nature, okay, nature is creating, right? We are saying nature is creating everything, nature is being, material world is like that. But he's saying living entity is the cause of various sufferings and enjoyments in this world. So we have to take responsibility. No, because of our mistake and our karma or activities, we are suffering. Okay, we'll go to the second half of the purport. According to one's desires and activities.
According to one's desires and activities, material nature places one in various residence of quarters. The being himself is the cause of his attaining such residence of quarters and his attendant enjoyment or suffering. Once placed in some particular kind of body, he comes under the control of nature because the body, being matter, acts according to the laws of nature. At the time, the living entity has no power to change that law.
We can pause this. So the couple of points Prabhupada is saying here is, we don't have a choice for the particular body we take. You know, it depends on, as you described, you know, the very nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada always quotes, Karmana Daiva Naitrena says. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, by under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and based on the activities of one's activities, one living entity is made to enter into the womb of a mother, taking shelter of the semen of, particle of the semen of the male body. So it's made to enter. Means it's forced to enter a particular body, basically, based on two factors. One is under direction of the Supreme Lord and according to one's karma or basically the results of one's activities. So because the factor of result of one's activities is there, that means we are responsible for the body we take. So many times, you know, initially when Prabhupada was giving seminars and he used to tell, you know, it's responsible for human life, you have to use it properly. We don't know what body you're going to take, like that in university, like that he used to talk. And he says, you know, you may take a body of a hog or a body of a dog, we don't know, so better utilize. And somebody stands up and says, it doesn't matter, I take a body of a dog, what is wrong? It's okay, what is wrong? So it's like that. So one who has experienced higher knowledge, they can see, you know, that's very abominable life. You know, you just keep eating stool and keep giving birth to babies and no unclean, no taking bath and somebody keeps hitting you. Then if you imagine from, if you are at a human body and you see this, it's like, okay, I don't want to take this. Take this body. So, I don't know, somehow I related some other thing. So when I was carrying, right, of course, you know, I was big towards the end, two kids, right? So one devotee was telling me, you know, Mataji, looking at you, I'm praying, I never want to give birth to a child. Then I was laughing to myself, you know, this could also be done as a service, but, you know, you can experience actually. You know, as a male body, probably, you know, there's no more freedom and no lightweight, always floating or whatever it is. So, you know, they say, so when we have that higher birth, we can see actually, you know, they are suffering.
So one quality, Mataji, I think that's why we are all women, is that you have compassion. Probably lack of compassion makes us males.
Yeah.
So more compassion, it's natural.
Yeah, compassion natural, and also Prabhupada said the benefit for women is they are naturally soft-hearted. So that's very favorable for bhakti, because they can easily give their heart to Krishna. Man always analyzes, right? You know, they have to choose so much before they give some heart to somebody. So in one way, other benefit is men can be easily renounced actually, because they are not, women are made to, they need that safety of a home, children, everything. The body is made like that. So that they need shelter of the home, family, but men are meant to just walk away. So they are more fit for renounced life. So there are benefits. Anyway, Prabhupada said, whoever takes to Krishna conscious, there is no difference in this body or whatever body. So it's okay. Yeah. So then, so we are forced to take birth of a particular body. And once we have taken birth, we are forced to act according to the way the modes of material nature acts on that particular body. So further down, Prabhupada gives example. Like if you are born in the body of a hog, you have to act like a hog. Like you have to eat stool. No, you're forced. You cannot say now, oh, I'm still self-realized, but I'm suddenly, accidentally, I got this body. No, I will do something else. But that's your survival, actually. That's how you live. You cannot escape. So another related point is in 12th canto, it's described, actually. People who commit sins, what they go through. You know, the whole Yamaloka, what suffering they go through. People who eat meat, what happens to them. Everything is described. So in that, it's basically a glimpse of what I remember is that it said, in order for us to go through certain type of reaction, we will be given certain type of body just suited for that. See, for example, if you have to go through fire, into the fire, and we have to get tortured through the fire, they will give us a body which can retain that heat and temperature. So still we can experience pain, but we exist. And then we'll give that suitable body, and they'll put us to the fire some number, whatever time, and then get us out. So we feel the pain, scream, come out, experience that, and then ready for next body like that. That's going to be our journey. So this is not different from what we are going through here, actually. That may seem very horrible or very scary, but that's what, 1 minute, that's what is happening here, right? We'll be now given human body, and if we misuse it, we'll go through dog body, we'll go through hog body, we'll go through everything, like, you know, plant, fish, everything. That's what we are going through now. There's no difference, actually. Yeah.
They are in a better position that way. Like, they make us suffer, but at least they are not suffering, right?
Yeah. That is the service. Actually, Yamaraja is one of the Mahajans. One of the Mahajans. And he feels regret, actually.
Yeah,
remember? He says, as Yamaraja, he says, you know, oh, my job is just keeping account of all these sins and doing all this. Let me do something, you know, very direct devotional service. Then he takes birth as Vidura. Right? Yamaraja only takes birth as Vidura. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he takes birth as Vidura to do the service. You know, there is some story related to that. Yeah. Okay. So it's clear, right? So we'll get a body based on our desires, but it's forced. And according to that, once we have taken that body, now it's out of our control. We cannot do anything. We have to act based on the body. We can see between man and husband and wife also, right? Sometimes man is a particular nature. They say men are, that book is there, right? Men are from Mars. So there's nature based on the body, actually. They're conditioned to act in certain way because of the body. So it's like that. Of course, we can rise above that by taking to devotional service. Okay, so next verse, text number 22. Purusha prakritisto hi bhunte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangasya sadda sadyoni janmasu. This is one of the memorization verses. I don't know for you, but maybe at least we memorized. I'll look at it and tell you. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. So the point here is, the crucial point about this verse is saying the living entity transmigrates. He keeps changing bodies because of his desire to enjoy. Thus he meets good and evil among species. So some species he meets good, some species he meets evil. And sometimes he may be like a cow, sometimes human being, sometimes as a dog, like that. So, you know, but it's all based on his desire to enjoy. So let's read the second line, purport. It is explained in the second chapter.
It is explained in the second chapter that the living entity is transmigrating from one body to another, just as one dress, one changes dress. This change of dress is due to his attachment to material existence.
Hmm.
As long as he is captivated by this false manifestation, he has to continue transmigrating from one body to another.
We can pause there, Prabhu. So remember this verse in second chapter where it talks about changing the dress. What is that verse? No, that is that. That's different. I think we didn't memorize this verse. Yata, I also don't know. That is Dehinosmin Yata. That is similar, but there is a specific verse which says, as we give up old garments and take up new garments, like that the living entity gives up the old body. Yata, okay, we can.
Do.
Yeah, yes. Which verse? Number?
2.22.
Yeah, we can read the translation. Yeah, Vachamsi Jinani Yastavit, right? 3 point,
yeah.
Yeah, Vachamsi Jinani Yata Vihaya, Navani Grinanti Naro Aparani, Tata Sharirani Vihaya Jinani, Anyani Samyati, Navani Dehi. Yeah, as a person puts up new garments, give him old ones. Similarly, the new material body is giving up the old and useless ones. So, you can write in this purport now. You can refer to that verse. 2.22. So, you know, Prabhupada is paraphrasing that verse.
22
verse 2. Yeah, easy to... Okay. So, this change of dress, actually, it's forced. Forced, right? This change of dress is to is attachment to material existence. So, as long as he's captivated by this, he has to continue transmigrating. So, there is no choice. He has to, once he gives us this material body, he has to take another body. So he's forced to take a body. For us, it may seem like fun, you know, what's wrong. But, you know, that's the suffering he's going through. Because birth is also painful. And also, once birth has taken up, the whole material existence in that body is also painful. So, the point here is, one point, very crucial point, he says, as long as he's captivated by this false manifestation. So the point Prabhupada says is like, even tinge of material attraction we have to enjoy this material world, we have to come back again. So but the point, the when we can return back home is when we have extinguished all our desires to enjoy this world. You know, we should not, either we are frustrated because of that we gave up, or we have higher taste because of that we gave up. Your choice is yours. Which path you want? You want to try and get frustrated? Or and then finally, you know, naturally cultivate higher taste and naturally give up. Okay, I'll leave the question to you. Yeah. Okay. Last three lines of the first paragraph. And in all cases,
the living entity thinks himself to be the master of his circumstances. Yet he is under the influence of material nature.
So the point is, even though he is in the body, he thinks actually he is a master. But actually he is forced by act according to the modes of material nature. No, all the body is also forced to act. That's the point Prabhupada is saying. Okay, we'll read next paragraph. It is due to the association with different modes.
It is due to the association with the different modes of nature. One has to rise, therefore, above the three material modes and become situated in the transcendental opposition. That is called Krishna consciousness. Unless one is situated in Krishna consciousness, his material consciousness will oblige him to transfer from one body to another, because he has material desires since time immemorial. But he has to change that conception. That change can be affected only by hearing from authoritative sources. The best example is here. Arjuna is hearing the signs of God from Krishna. The living entity, if he submits to this hearing process, will lose his long-cherished desire to dominate material nature, and gradually and proportionately, as he reduces his long desire to dominate, he comes to enjoy spiritual happiness.
Oh, so in this proper gave solution actually. So you are pondering, right, what to do, how to do. So he's saying, so the problem is because we associate with the modes of material nature, so the solution is we have to rise above the modes. Nishtrai gunya guna bhava Arjuna, Krishna says, right, in one verse. He says, Arjuna, rise above the three modes. Nishtrai guna. So then we have to become transcendental to the modes. That can only happen when we cultivate Krishna consciousness, right? As long as we have this material consciousness, we associate with the modes. So when we, how do we cultivate Krishna consciousness? Very fundamental thing Prabhupada is saying is just by hearing. So when we hear from authoritative sources, the Krishna subject matter, then automatically cleanses the desire to enjoy from the heart. And then gradually proportionately. Wow, these two words are so deep actually. Gradually means it's not going to happen overnight. Proportionately means proportion to our submission to this process, we'll get cleansed. It's not like I hear one word and then they expect whole day I'll not be affected by three modes of material nature, right?
That sentence, Mataji, that you just said.
Gradually and proportionately?
Yeah. Can you repeat it?
Yeah.
I just want to write it down.
Yeah, gradually and proportionately. Gradually means it's not going to happen overnight. So it's going to take some time. Proportionately means in proportion to our submission to the process. Right? Okay. As we surrender, Krishna rewards. Accordingly, then that will remove this long desire to dominate, because these desires are there since time immemorial. That's what is happening. So then this question actually, sometime it struck me, or when I read that. So do you know this answer? Like, how does this process work? When we hear about Krishna, how does it cleanse the heart? You know, the mechanics of how it works. What happens? How? It seems like two different things, right? How does the hearing about Krishna help cleanse the heart?
Jogs the memory.
I'm asking this question so that when you hear the answer, it will stay with you. It's given, You don't know, right?
I heard one lecture, but that was very detailed explanation. But I can cut it short. Like, it's more about when you hear from the speaker, his consciousness comes to you, and that changes your heart.
Yeah, that's also one way.
Yeah. I'm just putting into a very one line.
No, more than that actually. Okay. So yeah. Anyway, I know that you would not probably answer. So this verse we discussed in Bhagavatam, right? Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna last time. This verse when we recite Srimad Bhagavatam, we say these verses actually. Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayantastohi Abhadrani Vidinoti Surit Satam. So Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna. So when one develops a desire to hear about Krishna. Svakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, by this hearing of about Krishna, Hridayantastohi Abhadrani, one's heart, all Abhadras will be cleansed. Why? Because of Vidinoti Suhrit Satam. Suhrit, who is the Suhrit within the heart? Paramatma. The Paramatma, being very pleased, he cleanses the desire to enjoy from the heart.
How Paramatma is getting pleased?
Exactly. Because the soul is very close to Paramatma, right? Krishna knows exactly what soul is doing. So when the soul has developed the desire to hear about the Lord and he is engaged in the process of hearing about the Lord, super soul or Krishna becomes very pleased. Then in reciprocation, he cleanses the desire for immaterial enjoyment. So that is his reciprocation actually. That's the mechanics of how it works. Very, very phenomenal actually. So the Lord has to do that. Our desire to enjoyment has to be cleansed. Earlier I used to always remember, I used to reflect upon myself. Like, we can only dirty ourselves. We know easily how to muddy ourselves. Even to clean also, we need Lord's help actually. See, that's the state.
Seems in my case, the Lord is clubbing for a long time. Nothing's going, seems.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, sometimes it's more, lot of layers, more deeper, or sometimes we don't perceive, you know, like that. Or sometimes we need to be more effective in hearing and more sincere. For Lord to reciprocate, as Mata Navya Mataji was telling, right? Before we see Lord's reciprocation, Lord wants to test you to see how sincere you are. Then he may show some reciprocation. Okay. Text number 23. It's a very nice verse. This is about Paramatma's functions. Upadrashtanumanta cha bartha bokta maheshwara paramatmeti chapi yukto dehesmin purusha para. Yet in this body, there is another, a transcendental enjoyer, who is the Lord, the Supreme Proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the Super Soul. So here Krishna is himself saying, along with the soul, there is Supreme Soul. This is a transcendental enjoyer. That means he is not enjoying this material world. He is a Supreme Proprietor. And what are his functions? He is overseer and permitter. So what is the function of super soul? He oversees what the living entity does and he permits. If he wants to desire, he wants to enjoy something, he is permitting. And he is the super soul. Let's read the second paragraph. The fact is that
Every individual living entity is eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and both of them are very intimately related as friends. But the living entity has the tendency to reject the sanction of the Supreme Lord and act independently in an attempt to dominate nature. And because he has this tendency, he is called the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord. The living entity can be situated either in material energy or in the spiritual energy. As long as he is conditioned by the material energy, the Supreme Lord, as his friend, the super soul, stays with him just to get him to return to the spiritual energy. The Lord is always eager to take him back to the spiritual energy, but due to his minute independence, the individual entity is continually rejecting the association of spiritual light. This misuse of independence is the cause of his material strife in the conditioned nature. The Lord, therefore, is always giving instruction from within and from without. From without, he gives instructions as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, and from within, he tries to convince the living entity that his activities in the material field are not conducive to real happiness. Just give it up and turn your faith towards me, then you will be happy, he says. Thus, the intelligent person who places his faith in the Paramatma or the Supreme Personality of Godhead begins to advance towards a blissful, eternal life of knowledge.
Okay. So, some of the points is, as the living entity transmigrates, Lord is so merciful, he accompanies the living entity as super soul. So, the point is, super soul is not there in spiritual world, only in the material world. That itself shows that, because in material world, we can also not enjoy on our own. Super soul has to give direction, okay, go there and enjoy. But in the spiritual world, we don't need. So that's why he is not there. And he accompanies every form we take here. You know, bee, bird, anything, he is there to give us the guidance to enjoy. But at the same time, actually, he is looking for us to ask him how to get out of this. That's what he is waiting for. But the moment the bird is eating bird and witnessing bird. There are two birds. So the eating bird is busy eating, he is not even looking at the other bird. But the bird wants to turn him actually. So we have to just turn and say, okay, I am eating and keep continuously eating, but sometimes I am miserable, sometimes I am happy, I am fed up with this, is there any way out of it, to get out of this body of the tree? Then the Paramatma will take him to different destination. So like that. So that's what the Lord wants. We have to turn back and say, you know, just give me guidance to get out of it, of this material world. So then, he guides, as Prabhupada is saying, he's more eager than we can imagine actually. He's always eager to take us back. He's always eager. That's why he comes in so many incarnations, giving the message, he sends so many representatives continuously, even in this Kali Yuga, right? Or even in this, within few hundred years, there's so many messengers come to Muhammad, and Jesus Christ, and so many forms, right? Lord comes. Because this is his main thing, you know, he's not happy actually. Lord is not happy to see us suffer here. And he gives instructions within and without. Within as Paramatma, but we cannot hear him. And without as, you know, Lord's representative through Bhagavad Gita and spiritual master and things like that. So if we can somehow put faith in Krishna and listen to his instructions, then we can advance towards blissful eternal life of knowledge. You know, instead of struggling with this happiness and distress here, we can attain spiritual abode. I think we wanted to cover more, but I think we're running out of time. So we can wrap it up here. Any questions or comments?
Maybe how to strengthen the faith?
How to strengthen the faith?
You're saying like turn your faith toward me, so we know, but how
is it? So basically advancement in Krishna consciousness is nothing but advancement in faith. Basically the more you're advanced in Krishna consciousness, that much more you have faith in Krishna. So basically the question is, then how do I advance in Krishna consciousness? So that is nothing but same, again basic things, follow the principles. Follow the principles based on the sincerity Krishna will give. Advancement is nothing but how much we are detached from enjoying this material world, that much we are advanced. Right? How much we are attached to Krishna, that much we are advanced. So gradually, if we practically show Krishna our sincerity, you know, I don't want to enjoy more, I want to serve you. More and more if we do it. Initially, it may be like, make it until we fake it. But we struggle, we you know, use our intelligence to make proper choices and show Krishna, you know, I really want you. Then gradually, Krishna will really cleanse the desire for enjoyment as you hear continuously. Then it becomes very natural. That means you are already advanced that time. Initially, it's like you are striving by consciously making the choices so that, you know, I know this will distract me from Krishna, this will distract me from Krishna, I don't want. But Krishna, after some time, he gives naturally that attraction that, you know, you choose Krishna. You don't even have to think about it, you know, whether this one or that one. You just naturally want to serve Krishna and just choose Krishna. Yeah, the
so
basic process.
So vast of knowledge, all these things, like this simple part of us, he is a disciple person. Even you also, like so much of knowledge is needed to cleanse. It's like continuous contribution of knowledge also, like it helps in faith and everything.
Yeah.
So at one, like, initially, does the soul has all this knowledge?
Yeah. Satchit, soul is Satchit Ananda, right?
Yeah.
Satchit Ananda. Sat, eternal chit, full of knowledge. And Ananda, full of bliss. We have soul originally has full knowledge, a full realization of Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything. But everything is covered now. So when we are cleansing, we are awakening that knowledge. It's not like we are acquiring. That's why it's revealed actually. It's not like, you know, somebody keeps sitting and reading, and they'll get knowledge. If there is no bhakti, how much ever you read, you'll not get it. And if you explain, nobody can understand. It's not about acquiring. It's revealed. It's Krishna gives the realizations to the devotee based on the sincerity and the attitude of the devotee. It's about bhakti, it's that. And at the same time, this technically somebody need not know all these terms, everything, in order to advance in Krishna consciousness. In the sense that somebody need not be scholar to become a good advanced devotee. That somebody's inclination may be like that. Like somebody may like to read and quote verses and teach. But somebody may just want to serve, like, you know, clean toilets and just be in the sense, like, you know, be in the background and like that. So I was telling, right, my Prabhu was like that originally, and I was more like, you know, trying to use my intelligence more or think, like, discuss, analyze. I'm more like that. But when we met first time, when they were considering us like marriage and all, so I was thinking, no, I know him, he always, you know, he keeps washing pots in the class, he sits in the back row, and I'm like always wants to sit in the front, ask questions and discuss. So I was thinking I'm very intelligent, so of course I had that consciousness. So I was thinking, you know, is he really good fit for me? So then finally, you know, it worked out. So
Mother, they also
of course
that
it's material class,
like if your faith is strong and if your inclination is more on the bhakti side, God automatically gives you the knowledge.
Exactly, yes, that's right. That's the point. So basically, Krishna gives the knowledge by which we can come to him. It need not be that person need not quote verses, but they have. So that's I was able to complete the story. So when we met and we discussed about certain points, like, you know, some issues or something about what is your conclusion, what is your understanding. Actually, he could I felt very impressed the way he could put it in a very concise and very exact understanding what I had. Even though I spent more time reading books or whatever, but he had the conclusions with him. So you see the point? That's the thing. Krishna gives the conviction to the devotee. So it's not about acquiring by reading. That's also needed in order to fix our faith firmly. But the knowledge is given by Krishna himself.
So simply, like, if I read a certain verse and I analyze on my own, so like the whatever is like I understand, so it
need
not have to be the right one, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So is it like, what do I say, like, it's revealed to me, or where do I think I stand?
Oh. Which, at any
because
level?
Last class, I didn't come to
yes.
India, right? And I was reading, believe me, like, what I understood, I only know, like, I followed the books. And then when you were discussing, like, what you discussed last class, I like, wow. It's a deeper, like, it is so much deeper things are there. And I'm completely on the surface, I'm reading. And then certain things I will analyze and understand my own thing. Okay, this is what actually it meant. Is what, like, I will
yeah.
make myself understand. But then that verse is actually truly the meaning which is revealed to you. When exactly will you know that this is the meaning of the faith?
It's always what I say, it's evolving actually, you know. See, somebody was telling, Amit Prabhu was telling, you know, initially he used to ask the same questions. 3 years, 2 years back, the answers, now the answers were much more deeper, like you say, right, something like that. So because I'm also hopefully progressing forward, so then automatically the realizations deepen. So as we advance in bhakti, the more and more detail, deeper layers, the meanings will be revealed to us.
It's the same line.
Same. Yeah, for the same thing. Like, you know, if we complete 18 chapters, again we start from first chapter. It's not like I'm done now, right? Again, if we start introduction with some other batch and do everything, again we'll see it's much more deeper. Now we can relate more other verses, make it like more nested and connect more topic, like, you know, give a more profound. So, like that, yeah. And now we can relate with Bhagavatam. Earlier I was not reading Bhagavatam when I was discussing earlier chapters. But now I can relate like that. So as we advance in bhakti, Krishna gives the, you know, things necessary for us and to make our conviction more clearer and more. It's about, actually it's not about me, it's association of devotees. Because I also read before coming to the class, at least, you know, that's my due diligence, I have to read. But that time I feel like, you know, I know this, and I feel I bought points to share here, oh, what is this? But when we come, when somebody reads, when I hear here, something strikes, it's like, okay, let me explain this further, or okay, that makes sense here. It's association of devotees gives that more, you know, that Krishna becomes present and it illumines everybody, actually. That's the point, actually.
It's also,
yeah.
Service attitude.
Yeah, yeah, service. Yeah, that's also depends, yeah. Somebody may be teaching Gita with attitude that, you know, like, you know, false mentality, a false ego, like, I'm the boss, like that, then it doesn't touch the other people's heart. But if you do it in the mood of service, you know, to bring people closer to Krishna, then it has effect. Yeah, that's why initially only we read, right? Bhagavad Gita is never meant to be read on our own. We have to read it in the association of devotees. That's the right way to understand. Yeah, you will only see yourself after 2-3 years if you are continuing as you are continuing nicely, steadily. When you read it, you feel you have much more deeper understandings and realizations and things like that. Okay. Let's stop here. Just all Guru Srila Prabhupada.